Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube. Flames earned points in eight straight games, even after dropping a no-call overtime loss to the Preds last night. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered, episode 104. And today has been a gong show on Twitter, and I don't know if we're going to make it through the show tonight without having an Eichel heart attack here in Calgary. It's it's crazy. I've seen so many tweets and rumors in the last 6 hours. I don't know what to believe anymore. I honestly don't have any idea what to even think anymore about that. Halloween came and gone, and not a holiday I get super into. Took my kids trick-or-treating and had a good time with that. It seems like hockey teams celebrate Halloween bigger than any other sport. I don't see other sports posting Halloween costume pictures like I do hockey. I had to laugh a couple Flames ones, the Coleman one, the family one with a cooler. That was pretty good. And Vladar's was little Star Wars theme was fairly impressive. Road sweep for the Flames. Talked about that a little bit. Well, we weren't fully done with the sweep when we last talked last week, but after a 4-0 win in Pittsburgh, we've done that. And Calgary became the third NHL team in history to sweep a road trip of 5+ games while never trailing in each contest. That is ridiculously impressive. It's good to be a Flames fan right now. Kind of, maybe not today. It's heart attack day today. I think the consensus is that having Jack Eichel would be great for the future. I just think we're all scared at what cost that would be and how he heals from the surgery. That's been lingering in my mind. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. I didn't plan on talking about that on this show, but after the last 24 hours, I don't know how the heck we would go without talking about it. Positive. Everybody's got positive thoughts in Calgary now. That's nice for a change. We had so many, it seems like a lot of years where it really hasn't been. This year, I think expectations are really low, and now expectations are probably higher than they should be. Last night when we lose the Preds, I thought it was weird to lose, and I don't know. It's crazy. It's fun to watch games right now. It's fun to see what's going to happen, and I have to chuckle because everybody was boo-hooing how boring and awful, Sutter hockey was going to be. It seems pretty damn exciting, and winning is pretty damn exciting. On today's episode, we got a trio of games to recap, and then we're going to talk about expectations. How have yours changed? I know mine have changed for this team. Are we moving too fast? Then I will go into 9 takeaways that I've gained by watching 9 Flames games to start this season. And we'll wrap with a barrage of Flames news, division news, some listener questions. Hopefully some of you listening live will chime in with some questions. I got a feeling some will deal with Eichel. We'll touch on that later in the show. And yeah, it's a good time to be a Flames fan, and I appreciate everybody tuning in for another episode of Flames Unfiltered. All right, Flames fan, let's recap 3 games quickly. Last Thursday night, Calgary goes into Pittsburgh, comes out with a 4-0 win. A game I thought Calgary played pretty well, but you know what? It was probably a game that we can say Markstrom stole. He was dead on, just rock solid, stops everything. Another shutout for Markstrom, and goals from Gaudreau, Coleman, Dubé, Lucic gets another one. Good to see him scoring too. All in all, a good game and everything you want in a road game. Flames come home for a big Saturday night battle with the Philadelphia Flyers, and everybody in Calgary was talking about how are we gonna, you know, it's tough coming home after a long road trip, especially a successful one. Is this gonna come out flat? Sutter was in a very Sutter-like mood all day Saturday, I think in fear that his team would, or maybe he was trying to scare the hell out of them so that they wouldn't come out flat. Anyways, they didn't. And a very, very impressive performance, I thought, on Saturday night against a Flyers team that's nothing to shake a stick at, a good hockey team. Carter Hart in net for the Flyers, and I loved it. When I looked at the clock, midway through the second period, 30 minutes of hockey in, and Philadelphia had 4 shots on Calgary's net. Now, they did get some more later on in the game, and the shots tightened up a little bit, but Calgary still out shooting opponents drastically. I believe it was 2-1 against the Flyers. Goals that night came from Monahan, Tkachuk, Backlund, and Gaudreau again. The guy's got the hot hand lately. 4-0, that moved the Flames to 6-1-1. And then last night, Nashville came to town. And I think, you know, as a Flames fan, I was sitting there last night going, okay, we're going to lose here eventually. And how are we going to react as fans? How are the players going to react? And more importantly, we haven't been trailing since game one of the year. How are we going to react as fans if we go down a goal, and how is a team going to react? And last year, it seemed like when we got scored on early, not everybody, but a lot of guys on the bench were like, all right, fold it up. Let's get out of here. We're going to pack it in. We're going to lose. And I didn't see that last night. I felt, and Tkachuk backed it up in the media today when he said, I'd never really at any point in the game thought, we were going to lose. This team feels confident that they can score, and I think the fan base feels confident that they can score. Goals last night in a 3-2 loss in overtime to the Predators. Kunin scores for Nashville, Forsberg, and then of course Duchesne gets the OT winner. UC Saros very, very good last night as the Flames outshot the Predators. Controlled most of the play. I would say they definitely outplayed the Predators. Tkachuk gets a power play goal, his 4th of the year. Shillington with the beauty ties the game up at the 3:20 mark of the third period as he rockets one right off the top shelf crossbar in, and oh, it was a good, good goal. Markstrom, I thought, looked good last night. You know, the first goal was a ricochet goal, and the second one was not something that I would ever blame on Markstrom. All in all, a pretty good last night. We did lose Richie. In a fight with Mark Borowski. That guy's a bruiser. Jeez, he just goes around and just tries to beat the hell out of people. And Richie's a tough customer, and I've seen him knock people out, and he got KO'd last night. I mean, he didn't go down, but he got stung hard. And you could see him when he went off, and I knew right away he wasn't going to be back. And he wasn't in practice today, so I don't know. I hope it's not as bad as it looked, and I hope he's not out long-term or anything like that. But, kind of scary when a guy goes down like that. Not something you want to see, and hopefully he's going to recover sooner rather than later. Because, honestly, he's been pretty effective thus far on that line, and hopefully we don't lose him long-term. Overtime. I the more I watch overtime NHL hockey and how the coaches have ruined it, it is such a game of possession. It takes the excitement out of it. Once in a while, you'll get that run-and-gun overtime game that is just off the charts exciting. But for the most part, especially when it's teams within opposite divisions, it is just flat-ass boring. Hold the puck, possess it. And I get it. I get exactly why they do it. Last night, frustrating. I'm not sure if Backlund stepped on the puck or if he got tripped, but I want to see another angle on that. And if that looked like a blatant trip that just didn't get called, leading to a 2-on-1, and Duchesne scores that, and frustrating loss. Markstrom was pissed. And, yeah, I don't know. I heard some people say he stepped on the puck. But I'm not 100% sure on that. So I don't want to rip on the refs too bad. Cause I think so far this year, we can't really complain too bad, can we? Yeah, there's been a couple things, but for the most part, pretty good this year. Let's roll on into expectations for this team. All right, expectations. I think we need to like fan the flames just a little bit here. I am overly joyed with where we're at right now, but I predicted 92 points in fourth in the Pacific. Well, a hot start. We all talked about it before the season started, how critical that was going to be. And we got that. I mean, we got off to a blistering pace, and I think it is so much easier if you get off to a hot start to maintain it than to play that catch-up game. It's so hard to get points back. It's much easier to maintain points. But what have these first nine games done to all of us as fans? How has it changed our expectation level? I know it's changed mine. We're 6-1-2 in the first nine games, 14 points. If we continue at this pace, it's 127.1. Now, that's not maintainable. Let's be serious. I mean, it would be a dream, but not going to happen. We're 5-1 on the road. That is ridiculously good. We're outscoring opponents 31-18. We're plus 13. That is something we didn't even come close to seeing last year. I think that is the reason we missed the playoffs last year. I watched the standings, and every team that's positive in the goals for category was making the playoffs, and everybody negative is out of the playoffs. One thing I question is, can the scoring pace continue? It's fun. We're scoring by committee. We have 11 players this year that are on the score sheet with goals. That's not assists. That's goals. Pretty impressive. Mascheripane been really good. 7 goals. He's shooting the puck at a 35% pace. Not maintainable. And we start to see him slow the last two games, and I know his minutes have been down, but he seemed to be slowing a little bit. I'm not worried about that. I think he's going to bounce back and be very, very good. But the Flames are performing well in so many categories, and that's why we're sitting in second to the Pacific right now. We're fourth in points. We're sixth in goals for. We're fifth in goals against. We're fifth in power play goals. We're fifth in the power play with 26.67. We're 10th in the penalty kill at 85.71. And I think our penalty kill has been great. Are these huge numbers sustainable? I think some of them probably are. But I think maybe we need to curb our expectations, our newly formed expectations and our excitement level just a little bit. Because they don't give out banners for good Octobers. We need to make sure, that these players stay accountable like they've been this year and play that Sutter way. Where do the expectations go? I think this team is going to battle for the top three now. I had them pegged for four. I think they're fully capable when you get off to a start like this to battle for a top three. I think Edmonton's obviously, they're in first now and they're going to stay there. They're off to a blistering pace, even more than Calgary, which sucks because we don't like the Oilers, but I guess good for them. Vegas, who we all thought, or most of us thought, and me included, thought they would be the belle of the ball in the Pacific, and so far they're not. They are behind the eight ball. They have 8 points where Calgary has 14. That's a pretty good spread. I'm not saying they can't catch us, but it's going to be harder when you spot spreads like that to Calgary and Edmonton. And they have injury problems, and those injuries are not going away soon. They're not short-term injuries, and they're not something that's just going to be, heal up right now. I think San Jose and Anaheim will fall off. I don't think the goaltending in San Jose is good enough, and I don't think the depth scoring in Anaheim is good enough, so I see them falling. Vancouver's an interesting team. This is a team that on paper I was like, this team can score like crazy. I worried about their defense and their goaltending. I was interested to see how Demko would do. Demko's been really, really good. So is Halak for that matter. Both of them over a .91, which is amazing for a team that's struggled to win. But it's flat out, their stars are not scoring. They are going through what Calgary went through last year. You're not going to win hockey games if your stars aren't scoring. And Vancouver is going to be interesting to see if they're going to be able to turn it around and get back into this race, or if they're just going to be a disappointing team like they were last year. My expectations have changed. I like what I see in Calgary. The systems are being played. It seems to me like this team is tight. It seems like they're playing for one another, and it's resulting in points. Points almost every night. I've got a point in every game, but the one versus Edmonton, which was night one of the year. That's pretty impressive. All right. Now let's talk a little bit about takeaways. We've watched 9 games now as Flames fan, and I've come up with 9 thoughts on where this team, what we've seen from this team and how it's created great results. The first one is defensively we've been rock solid great. We're out shooting opponents, some nights 2-1, which we didn't see that last year, and we sure as hell didn't see the scoring last year. Another stat that I saw this week that was off the charts is a stat of Jacob Markstrom's. And the stat was an interesting one. I've never seen it before and I did not know, but it's a stat called goals saved above expected. And so in 6 games for Jacob Markstrom, he has allowed 8 goals. Based off the scoring chances on him, the expected goal amount for him is 16.03. He is 8.0 saves above what is expected out of him. That's pretty impressive. He ranks 4th in the league behind Shesterkin, Anderson, and Bobrovsky. All those teams are winning too. That's funny how critical goaltending is. Another thought that came to me this week is this. Oliver Shillington. I love how he's played. It's been amazing. He has a pending RFA at the end of the season. What do you do? Do you get on their horse right now, call his agent up, and base it off of what we've seen in the first 7 games or 6 plays, 6 that he's played, I think, 6 and 3 minutes, I think. What do you do? Do you sign him right now? I saw a couple tweets this week, and one of them from Mike Gould. He said, I'd look at giving him 4 to 5 year extension. We're somewhere in the ballpark at 2.5 to 3 million per season. Yeah. I wouldn't be upset. Would you guys be upset on that? Is our sample size big enough to do that? Probably now. I don't know. I mean, logic would tell me, no, it's not. But I'm so impressed by his skating, and I'm so impressed by his composure this year, comparatively speaking to the previous years, then maybe he is over that hump. Maybe he has matured to that level where we can trust him on a nightly basis. Another player we can trust on a nightly basis to me is Andrew Mangiapane. He busts his ass out there. He looked so good the first 6 games, 7 games. Last 2, you know, he's been okay, but not quite as much of a factor. Did you guys know that amongst Canadian-born skaters since 2019, he ranks 3rd in 5-on-5 goal leaders? Only Connor McDavid, Brad Marchand are ahead of him. He's ahead of Braden Point, Sam Reinhart, Huberto, Henry, Gallagher, Toffoli, Barzal. Wow. This guy doesn't get power play time. He doesn't get those key moments like Gaudreau would get. This guy still finds a way to get the puck in the back of the net. Our defense, I think, is another point that I wanted to talk about, and how strong they've been. I loved it when earlier this week, Sutter came out and said, was asked about Zadorov's absence, which Zadorov was scratching five straight, and he was asked if it was injury related, and his reply was, there's a competition with those guys. If you want to play, or if you play well, you play. If you don't, you don't. That's pushing these guys. And I know we all boo-hooed on our defense prior to this season starting, but I don't think there's anybody that saw this coming and how good we've been. Johnny Gaudreau seems like Johnny Gaudreau of year one and two, doesn't he? He's going to make me look stupid this year because I ripped on him and I wanted him gone and I screamed about his soft play. I still think he's play is soft, but he's a smaller player, so I get it. But I'm okay with him being a little soft if he's going to work his ass off to get the puck and win some battles, because you don't need to be big to win a battle. And I'm seeing it this year. He's back checking. He's been the first man back numerous times. And it's fun to watch when he's got the puck, his head's up. He's confident. He's moving his feet. He's looking for open people. He's now in the last few games taking shots when he's getting the chance. I don't know how many chances he had in the first period yesterday. And it's like, holy cow. Through nine games, he's got 2 goals, 9 assists, 11 points. He's a +7. He's been good. He's been good each and every night. And honestly, last night statistically was one of his worst nights, but I thought he had probably the most chances last night. This team is playing the Sutter system. And what that means is defense first. And you worry about your team and your teammates and how to help each other when someone does bobble. Up until last night, Blake Coleman and Tyler Pitlick had not allowed an even strength goal or a goal when they were on the penalty kill. They had not been on the ice for a goal. That changed against Nashville. But through 8 games, those two were not on the ice. That's pretty impressive. Another thought that I had in my first 9 thoughts for 9 games was how our bottom 6 forwards that we acquired this year have already outperformed our bottom 6 that we additions that we had last year. Think about Levo and Nordstrom. I actually like Nordstrom, so I'm one of the few, but Levo was a huge disappointment. Look what Pitlick's done. Pitlick looks good. He's big body, moves, can skate. Had a glorious scoring chance last night. Didn't bury it, unfortunately. This guy's going to get one soon. And I think there's a huge upside for him. I love where he's playing. He's responsible defensively. We're going to see big things from him this year. Trevor Lewis, a guy that I was not happy when we got him. I love what he's doing out there. He knows his role, and he does it. Another thing we've learned this year is you don't have to look good on paper sometimes. Our defense, a few years ago, I've talked about this in the show, I don't even know how many times, about how I loved our defense a few years ago and how I thought it was the best defense on paper in the NHL, and we were not good. And then last year, our defense on paper looked better, and we weren't very good. This year, I looked at our defense, and I was like, oh, shit. Valimakis, I don't know what I'm going to get from him. Zadorov, Branson was awful in the preseason. You know, when I'm looking at Stone going, okay, he's our safe guy, that's a scare. But this team's unreal. Good Branson doesn't even look like he's the same player that we've ever seen before. He's been great, responsible, good, doing everything we want him to do, physical. Stone can be in the press box for 8 games, skate the 9th game and look like he plays every night, responsible, good, got a wicked shot. Valimaki, I worry a little bit. I think his confidence is really wavering right now. Now he's been out 2 games in a row. Let's be interesting to see how that's going to affect him. Zadorov was out 5 games and he comes back in. I thought he was decent against Philly. I thought he struggled a little bit last night against Nashville. But he brings a big body and a big presence. I mean, who saw the Coleman-Backlund-Pitlick line to be such a solid line? It's great. It's fun to see. These guys are making plays happen. They're putting the puck in the net. They are shutting down opponents like we've never seen in recent history in Calgary. It's fun to see. And then having a top end goaltender, Jacob Markstrom, what do you say? The guy's been outrageous. So critical. You look at the teams winning, they all got goalies that are doing it. And Markstrom looks like the Markstrom we had the first few games last year before he got hurt. This guy's rock solid, and he is helping us win games right now. All right, Flames fans, we're going to roll through some Flames news. We're going to talk a little bit about the standings, and then it's time to answer a few questions. I see we have a couple in the comments thing, and we'll talk about it in just a moment. Markstrom named number one star of the week. How do you not give it to him? Look at these numbers, 3-0-0, goals against a .33, save percentage of .989, two shutouts, off the charts. We talked about how happy we've been with Andrew Mangiapane this year. He was named to the Canadian Olympic team long list, which is quite an accomplishment. I'm not sure if there's going to be room for him on there. I doubt it, but just to get named to that list is quite an honor for a guy that, we had high expectations for him in Calgary, but outside of Calgary, I don't think most people, and probably right now, most people don't know who Andrew Mangiapane is, and they're going to find out because this guy keeps getting better and better and better. And don't forget, Flames fans, November 12th, Jerome McGinley gets inducted to the Hockey Hall of Fame as we've had to wait because of COVID, and it's going to be great to see Iggy get in, and well-deserved, and boy, he was such a factor in Calgary and such a straight-up leader and just a good, good, good guy. Backlund reached a milestone this week as he picked up an assist on Blake Coleman's 2-0 goal the other night. And as a result, Backlund becomes the 19th player in franchise history with 400 points with one team. 400 points with the Flames. Whew, that's crazy good. And Monahan last night with 600 games. That happened. He's only the 11th player in Calgary Flames history to play 600 games. Did you know that? Monahan's been struggling this year. He's just a guy you got to cheer for, isn't it though? I mean, he's been so honest about it and been straight up and has been accountable for what's happening. And the other night when he scored and got that monkey up the back, I was hoping that would continue to get the ball rolling and he had some chances, but last night I did think he struggled just a little bit, and that's unfortunate. Let's roll through the division right now, and as it stands, Edmonton in first with 14 points. Calgary tied with them with 14 also, but we played one more game. San Jose with 12 in third. Anaheim fourth with 11 points. Vancouver fifth with 9. Vegas sixth with 8 points. Los Angeles and Seattle carrying up the basement with 3 points each. Seattle has played one more game than LA, so they hold that spot over the top of them. Projections change. Think about this, guys. Before this road trip started, the NHL Hockey Network had the Flames ranked 22nd amongst all the NHL teams in their power rankings. On Saturday, I saw the Flames were ranked on the same network 3rd in power ranking. When 5 in a row on the road, you go from 22nd to 3rd? Really? I think the Flames are a good team, and I expect a lot this year. But, I mean, holy cow, are we the 3rd best team in the league? I don't know. Maybe right at the moment we are, but I don't know. How's our playoff projections come on the Athletics projection chart? They have the Flames with a 43% chance of making the playoffs, 19%, or no, excuse me. They've got us projected to get 98 points this year, a 3% chance of winning the Stanley Cup, and a 19% chance of missing the playoffs. That's moving up. We have the second highest rating to make the playoffs at 81%. Second highest in the Pacific Division. Edmonton at 98%. They're the highest. Calgary in second at 81%. Vegas in third with 63%. Seattle. I know people in Vegas love Seattle. 52%. San Jose 34%. Vancouver, they hate Vancouver. 27%. LA 11%. Anaheim 4%. Boy, I think we feel a whole lot better in Calgary right now. I know I do. It's sure been fun. Let's get to some questions and let's talk and see what the listeners have to say. And then I want to talk a little bit about Eichel and, we'll roll on here. Justin Dumoulin checking in. Good to hear from you, Justin. Oilers with Hyman is what Toronto misses so badly. It's something that it's been clearly seen. Oilers great start is because of Hyman's puck possession ability. I think he's been, critical. I think the biggest reason that we're seeing an uptick in Edmonton is they have depth that, they've never had before. That was always the knock on them. It was like, well, you got Draisaitl and McDavid and there was nothing after that as far as offensive threats. And that's changed a little bit is, as Hyman stepped in and Puljujärvi back, I think he's looks really, really good. And, just definitely some more depth through there. And, hey, it's got Edmonton red hot and they're sitting in first place and they kicked our butt in game one. And I look forward to playing them again to see how these teams have changed. Justin also, chiming in with some Eichel talk and he says, so much hype today, so many ideas thrown in, so many that doesn't make much sense and, some that do make some sense. Can't wait till this, deal is done. And here's my talk about Eichel seems like we've been thinking about this a long time. And my question is like, can this deal even be done for Calgary? And I look at all these trade rumors and everybody's got Monahan on there. And I know, he's the easy guy that we want to trade. And I agree with you. I would like, I'd be happy if he was part of a deal too. But what people are forgetting is he has a no move clause of 10 teams. He's 10 teams that he'll go to. And I'll bet you hell or high water that freaking Buffalo is not one of those teams that he's going to agree to go to. Maybe it is. I'd be freaking shocked. Would you not? I mean, everybody would be shocked. I just pull my phone up now and Twitter's just been off the charts today. And, I don't know, I've seen rumors, flying around. Walker Drew is not dropped or not dressed tonight. Is he part of the deal? Is Wolf part of the deal? But he's playing tonight. I don't know what to think anymore. I know as a Flames fan, we're all sitting here, I'm staring at Twitter, wondering when we're going to see something and when and if something's going to break. I did highlight a couple tweets here today, and this kind of all fired up and got going last night when Emily Kaplan from ESPN reported that multiple sources tell ESPN it's down to Calgary and Vegas. Sabres GM Kevin Adams is working hard to get it done, but neither team has met his asks yet. Sources say both teams are okay with Eichel getting the preferred surgery. Well, I think we kind of figured that would happen. And then today, things really took a turn, and Kevin Weeks put his understanding is that Tkachuk, a first-rounder this year, a former first round pick and two prospects would be dealt for Eichel. I can see Tkachuk going because you guys got to think about this. If we got Eichel and now next year we got cap Tkachuk at $9 million and we got to sign Gaudreau too, we don't have the cap to do that. So someone's got to go. So either we keep Tkachuk, get Eichel and tell Johnny to pack him. I mean, we only have so much cap space. We can't move Lucic. We can't move Monahan. There's just so many, parts in this. Kevin Weeks also tweeted, and I don't know if this is a fake account or, I don't know what to believe anymore at all. that Mangiapane might be in the talks too. I can't imagine we would give that up. I saw some potential trades on NHL Network today. Brian Lawton posted that, you know, he thought it would probably be Monahan, Zari, Poirier, and a first rounder for Jack Eichel. You know, he also, I don't know. I don't know how this gets done. A couple of things I was thinking could happen would be like Tkachuk, Valimaki, and a second for Eichel, but that's we're still 400,000 cap short on that. I thought maybe it'd be Monahan. He'd waive it with and go with Valimaki and a first round in 2022 for Eichel, but that leaves us a million short. This is a tricky deal, and there's a lot of factors that we're not filling in. You know, an owner's got to agree to take on a $50 million risk. And I think everybody's forgetting that. And that's why, you know, when I see what Buffalo supposedly is still asking for a price, I think you're out of your mind. Like, how many teams can flat out even do that? How many have the, you know, prospects that you'd want? And how many can afford to do this? Like, to me, it's ludicrous. I think the asking price has to be lower than what's being reported. I don't know how it couldn't be. I'm hearing that there's all kinds of pressure from multiple sources that on Buffalo to get a deal done. I'm hearing that maybe even USA Hockey is pressuring them. You know, Eichel's health is at risk slightly because, you know, he is not being able to live his life like he normally would be right now. I don't know. I just still have a hard time believing that an owner is going to take $50 million risk and give up tons of players and prospects. And, you know, I know that you can bury that $50 million risk in a long-term IR, but the fact is you still got to pay it out though too. So, just a ton of risk in the deal. I don't know. Justin's writing that Tkachuk and more and prospects and picks doesn't make much sense for a potential. My only factor for a successful trade is retaining salary. There's, or like having a third party retain it. I know there's been talk about that. I think Buffalo's going to probably have to do that to get a deal done. I don't know how a deal happens with whether it be Calgary, Vegas, or who the hell knows, without them retaining some salary, especially with the risk involved. Or teams are going to have to get really creative and have so much of this be like, future stuff. Like, we'll give you, you know, player A and B now. And then if he's healthy and gets 12 games this year, we'll give you this pick next year. If he plays 40 games for us the following year, you get this. And if he plays 60 games for us the following year, you get this. That's more what I see happening. I see a trade that gets drug out over the next 5 years, with future, a lot of future considerations based off, games played, and probably not performance, because I don't think Buffalo will go down that road, but probably on games played. What I'm hearing is that, it's pretty much out of the question for them to retain salary, but I don't know how this gets done without them retaining salary. It's an interesting dilemma. It's one we're going to probably be talking about a lot in the next couple of days. It's probably one that you're going to see my mug on Facebook and Twitter talking about on Flame Shorts as more rumors come in, and hopefully here in the near future, a break and a trade, you know, and then whether it be Calgary or not, I'm mixed on what I want. I want a top end center like Jack Eichel. I'd probably be okay with giving up Tkachuk because I don't know how we justify paying him $9 million next year, but I don't know. I don't know how much, you know, I was thinking originally, you know, Tkachuk for Eichel even up, but evidently the ask in Buffalo is way the hell higher than what I'm willing to give. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out over the next few days, but it sounds, and you know what, where there's smoke, there's fire. I got a feeling this is coming down the chute tomorrow, probably.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
Couple games to quickly preview this weekend before we let you get on with your Wednesday evening. Dallas comes to Calgary tomorrow night, Thursday night. They're sixth in the Central, 3-4-2, 8 points. Dallas coming off a big come-from-behind win into Calgary, and that'll be interesting because I have mixed feelings on Dallas some nights. I really didn't give them probably the respect they deserved at the beginning of the year, but we'll see how that all plays off. And then Saturday night, another Hockey Night in Canada battle here at the Saddle Dome. The New York Rangers come to town. They take on the Flames. They're second in the Metro, 6-2-2, 14 points. The Flames did beat the Rangers on October 25th at Madison Square Garden, 5-1. The Rangers looking for a little bit of revenge on the Flames and a first team that we've played twice this year. An Eastern Conference team. Crazy schedule this year is. We're making up for not seeing the East last year by getting them all right to start this season. And then on Tuesday night, the third place in the Pacific, San Jose Sharks come to the Saddle Dome. They are 6-3-0, 12 points. Our first meeting against the Sharks this year. And that'll be interesting because I did not give this team any chance. I did not think their goaltending would hold up. And we'll see how that goes. Last week, we had a Calgary Flames hot mic watch party while we watched the Pittsburgh Penguins together. And hey, maybe we were good luck because the Flames looked really, really good that night. Markstrom was unbelievable, and the Flames win. The next Flames watch party is going to be Sunday, November 21st, 5 o'clock Mountain, as Calgary's in Boston that night. Watch for further details on that show. We give away prizes. This year we got a hat trick super challenge where you got a chance to win t-shirt, hats, and $100 Calgary Flames gift card to shopnhl.ca. And, we also give away hockey cards every single night. Join in, talk Flames hockey, have a good time. It is, it's an entertaining night watching hockey together. Flames fans, mulling over the goods and the bads of the Calgary Flames. Well, another episode in the books. You will see a couple Flame shorts probably over this weekend as things heat up in the Jack Eichel trade talk. Twitter is batshit crazy right now. Make sure you get on over to Hockey Fights Cancer here at Flames Unfiltered. We really support that. I ask everybody to help out and donate if you can. It is a worthy cause and something we would really, really appreciate. Flames Unfiltered will be off for a couple weeks. And here's why. I'm going to be taking my family on a rescheduled trip to Florida. We were going in August. COVID put a kibosh on that as we take off next week and head to Florida for a week. Disney World with the kids. Just what the doctor ordered. Get away. Get to the sunshine. Have a little bit of fun with the family. Although we won't be on our normal Wednesday, you're going to get to see a few Flames Unfiltered shorts as I'm gone. We'll do them right from Florida. Yeah, that should be interesting. Lots of games going on as the Flames embark on another long road trip. We will be back on a normal Wednesday night show, November 24th. We're going to be active on social media. And make sure you check out those Flames shorts while we're gone. Check us out at flamesunfiltered.com. And yeah, get on over to Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe. We really, really appreciate that. Your support is so important to us, and we really appreciate that. Well, let's keep this going. 8 games in a row with points. Tomorrow night, the Dallas Stars come to the Saddle Dome. Everybody get out, support your Flames. Let's pack the Saddle Dome. See you next week. Well, actually, you won't see me next week because, again, I said I'll be in Florida. Check us back November 24th. We'll have a ton to talk about and probably some more Jack Eichel news. Have a good night, Flames fans.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Bruin on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.